This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 492, recorded Wednesday, June 10th, 2020, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Now with real kazoo.
Always with. When did I use a fake kazoo?
I don't know.
This is actually a Lycos.com kazoo. So I am once again down in the bunker below ground outside of New York City. And I brought all of this extra equipment to improve the sound setup here, except I missed two adapters. So I had to go back to the travel equipment that I always bring in my bag, which is this is the microphone that I used while I was abroad.
All right. So well, it sounds prepared. Fine to me.
Yeah, no, that's why I use it when I'm abroad. It's a good microphone, but I had a mixer set up, and I have a professional microphone with phantom power and all the good stuff. I'll root around and see if I can find a missing adapter. If not, because I'm in what one FedEx employee once referred to as God's country, when I said I wanted to ship something here, Amazon is having some delivery trouble in this area. If I have it sent to my house, it'll be there tomorrow, because New York City has sort of fixed it, their shipping delays. But if I want something here, they're telling me sometime between now and the 25th.
Wow.
It's almost faster to have it shipped to Queens and drive the 2.5 hours down there to get it.
Almost?
Well, I want to stay up here for a little while. It's the country. It's nice. I usually do not have the luxury of working wherever I want, because they usually expect me physically present. Now that they don't know where I am, I can be anywhere. Unfortunately, right now, no one's going anywhere, because I could be on a beach somewhere.
I hope that remote work is the future.
Well, I like occasionally being physically present, but not every day, because half the time there's no need for me to be there. I do not add anything by being physically present, and sometimes I do. So alternating seems like a nice thing to do. Anyway, another week has gone by. It's a little later than normal because of some scheduling conflicts. I've scheduled a weekly Zoom meeting for Wednesdays. During the pandemic, a group has been getting together that you only got together once a month. They've been getting together every week. And this week there was a crisis.
There was?
Nobody could figure out who was actually hosting the Zoom meeting. So everybody wanted to be in the Zoom meeting, but nobody had started the Zoom meeting because whoever was hosting it apparently forgot they were hosting it. So I have the credentials for their Zoom. So I logged in and started the meeting for them and shut it down. I'm nice cool. That way.
You are.
I have my moment. So I did work on a home automation project this week, Grossi, which I've mentioned before in passing, I think. That's grocy.info, and it is a management system for inventory. And because this place that I'm currently staying in is not a permanent residence for everybody, and there is a deep freezer here, nobody can ever remember what's in stock in this house. So they end up bringing extra, so we end up with five of the same thing. So yeah. On a computer here, I have installed an instance of Grossi that's remotely accessible, and I have started inventorying the food here and the cleaning supplies and everything else. So people will be able to know what we have in stock here, so they won't bring it. Or conversely, they will bring it. But I've been playing with this thing, and it is just one of the greatest examples of a programmer just going at it with every single everything but the kitchen sink thing that you could need for what he wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
So you can put in your, you can do stock. And I've been doing that with a barcode scanner so that it can learn my regular food items. So I can just scan them. Once I've put in a product entry for it, it'll just know the name and the quantity. You can use that to generate a shopping list, because you can program it to, if your stock goes below a defined minimum stock amount so that you always have it in stock, it can automatically put it on your shopping list so you can print out a list. You can store your recipes in it so that you can actually, if only show recipes that are reflected by the items you have in your house. It can have you do menuing, so you can actually create menus of items based on what you have. It, and that's, that all seems to relate to each other, but then you get down to the things that are sort of external. There's an option where you can keep track of your battery status, when you last recharged your rechargeable batteries and when you next plan to charge them. There is a section where you can list all of the equipment in your house and store the instruction manual.
So in summary, you like it?
I think it's, some of it may be overkill for what it is that I'm using it for. No, I think it's a great, I think it's a great little project. The fact that it's, that I think it's overkill for some, for what I might be using it for, doesn't mean it isn't for play with. And I look forward to sort of going to the supermarket with my shopping list based on what I actually know I have in the house, because I never remember either, which is why when I'm done here, I'm going to do an inventory there. I have two different instances of it installed on two different subdomains.
Cool.
And if I really like it, maybe I'll invest in a luxury barcode scanner. Better range, wireless, all the fancy stuff. So have a look at it. Also, it does have Home Assistant integration. I could just imagine the fun automations you can do with that. Turn your lights red if your bread is about to expire.
Yep, that would be fun.
Yeah. But again, I'm hoping to be, I found sometimes that the act of tracking something helps you be a little more organized about chore type things.
Yes.
So I'm trying to be, to track what I have in order to be more organized about what I don't have. We'll see how it works out. So some news came through this week. I know news excites you.
I like news.
Yeah. So
there's been way too much news lately.
Yeah, but at least we can ignore the more troublesome news in the world. I'm not saying ignore it permanently, but ignore it for the duration of this program and focus on some nice...
You're simply saying that this is not the particular podcast for current events.
I'm saying this may be the podcast if you want to not think about current events for a little while and think about other things. Because I have occasionally mentioned the whole global situation right now. However, I've mentioned it in the context of spending more time in my house. So I think that sort of stands on its own. But some interesting things that happened this week in the news that we follow for this program, which would be Google apparently is returning to Android TV hardware with a possible successor to the Chromecast that has a remote control and is more like a mini Android TV device.
That'd be nice. Although I think they're gonna, it's gonna take them a while to catch up to Roku and the Nvidia Shield.
I like Roku. The Nvidia Shield, I don't know, for what I do, always seem like overkill because it's more designed for gaming. That's one of its stated goals, and I've never used one, but that's my impression based on advertisements.
I have a coworker that their house uses Nvidia Shields, and he says it makes a great media platform.
Yeah, it does. I'm just saying that's not really what Nvidia sort of pushes it at. They sort of push it as more than that. I think if Google did it, they'd be pushing the media side of it, but I would probably buy at least one to play with. But I like the Chromecast. The only thing that really annoys me about the Chromecast is, again, a lot of times I do not want to whip out my phone to press pause. I want a remote control. Yeah. I like casting. I like being able to send something from my phone to my TV. And that's a great feature. And I think that's why the Chromecast is a successful little product. But the fact that you need your phone in order to do anything, or you there's little computer support. So it's not very easy to work with the Chromecast in certain levels. In other areas, it's really easy to work with the Chromecast. So I'm happy that they might be working on a product. And remember, these are still rumors. 9to5 Google has introduced AndroidDistribution.io to show current and historical distribution data now that Google is not providing that data. So it is a site where you can look at all of their historical charts going back. So they'll show you what April 2020 looks like. They'll show you 2019, 2018, et cetera. So that you can see the history of how Android has changed over time. So it's a simple little site.
It is, but nice. I do wish the animations going from one spot to the next, from one time period to the next, would not change the sheet, but would just animate the numbers.
Send them a note. I think they did this sort of a quick dev project. I don't think it's really meant to be a full-featured app, but I'm sure that they would respond to your query. I just think it's a nice little service that they put together.
It is.
TCL, who made the Roku embedded television that I'm currently using at home, actually introduced televisions that with built-in Android TV. So you'll be able to get a television with either a built-in Android TV as software or built-in Roku.
Cool.
I don't know. I trust Roku more on that ground.
I trust Roku to
maintain it.
Continue making the product.
Well, the reason why is that the software that they load onto there is essentially just a variant of the software that they put onto their own devices, and they're going to keep doing upgrades for that. Whereas with Android TV, it's sort of, I don't think that they're, I'm more thinking of how Android devices after 2 years eventually die, and I don't want to rip my television off the wall because I'm not getting any software updates.
Right, because TVs typically have a longer lifespan than 2 years.
Yeah, now I went back and forth on the idea of, well, why don't I just get a television with no intelligence inside it and just hook up a Roku, because then I could always rip the Roku out and replace it if they stop supporting it. But I can still just ignore the Roku that's built into my Roku and have it just act like a dumb television. So far, they've gotten updates. There was a delay in the TVs, but they are still updating them. So far, so good. Anyway, this is somewhat tempting for like a secondary television. I think I'll wait to see how longevity on Android TV is for TCL. Are they committing to a level of support? Not forever, but I generally keep my television longer than I keep my phone. It is a consideration. If you use Google's two-step verification prompt on your phone, it will soon be enabled for any phone that you're signed into. So it means every device that you have will be asking, did you approve this new device?
Jeez.
You can turn it off. So right now, if you go and you are able to transfer those notifications from one phone to another, they're saying now they're going to make it so you can have it in multiple devices, which may be good. However, they seem to be turning it on by default, which means you have to turn it off, whereas some people may prefer it the other way around. If you like Facebook Messenger, they're switching to the new Bubbles API in Android 11.
Yay.
I wasn't...
Not that I really care, but really...
I'm interested in whether or not people care about the Bubbles API, not so much Facebook, because regardless of whether you like Facebook Messenger or not, it's a messaging platform. There are half a dozen of them. I won't debate the merits of one over the other than my continual annoyance about the loss of Hangouts because I just got used to
it. I've got to say I'm not a big fan of the Bubbles layout, of the Bubbles.
Neither am I. I just find it annoying.
It is.
Moving along, Dropbox is working on a password manager. Does Dropbox know what it does for a living? Have you noticed, you know, they seem to just keep coming out with these other secondary apps, and I never hear anything about them afterwards.
It's remote storage of information.
Yeah, but what have they done so far? They have Paper, which is their collaborative workspace app. I haven't heard of anybody using that. Now they have early access for their password app. So essentially, they just keep adding things that, again, have a lot of market share. I'm surprised they're not trying to come up with something unique. You know, they pretty much pioneered the idea of commercial file sync folders. They didn't pioneer the idea of a file sync folder, but they pretty much started the commercial part of that. People would put that on a computer and pay for it.
Yep.
So you think that they would be sort of expanding out of that, but they seem to just be saying, okay, what do people like? Oh, people use password managers. Let's write one of our own. We need I just don't know where they're going with it. If they found a new market, it would be one thing, or they went into an existing market that sort of expanded their core product. But I just, as I said, I have no idea what exactly they're, I don't see the vision. On the other hand, it could be a wonderful password manager. I have no idea. If you use Google Maps, they will be accepting real-time user feedback about how crowded transit is.
Wow, nice.
Well, speaking personally, on June 8th, New York City entered phase one of the return to normalcy, which is significantly behind the rest of the state of New York. So,
yeah, but for good reason.
No, I didn't say it wasn't for good reason. I'm saying that it's going to take a while. But one of the bigger concerns was that the number of people who would hit the New York City transits. So New York City actually accelerated the Omni program, which is its contactless payment project, which wasn't supposed to be finished for a while. During the time when the subways were otherwise running at very low capacity, apparently they were able to expand the Omni system to 50% of all subway stations in well ahead of schedule. I'm excited. I hate Metro cards. It's a card that you keep in your wallet that you have to swipe with a little magnetic strip, and half the time the magnetic strip doesn't work, and then the card expires, and then you have to argue with the person at a token booth because that's the only place that you can actually argue about renewing your cards to get them to exchange your old card for a new card so you can use the money that you paid them. Also, there are no token booths anywhere near me because there are no subways anywhere. That's a whole other conversation. We'll save that for Transit Buffet. Oh, you didn't know that that's our upcoming spinoff?
Yay!
I'm joking. I wouldn't mind talking transit more often. I do feel very strongly about it. However, I don't know exactly how many people would want to hear me ramble on about public transit. Also private transit, transit in general. But moving along, every Pixel owner should set up the personal safety app. I'm not saying that. The author of this article on Android Central, I forgot to note the name, Andrew Martinick said this. And I had a look at this app, and it's actually a nice little app that's built that I think should be sort of built into Android, which is an app that does crash detection. So if your phone sensors detects you're in a crash, then it will alert you that a crash has been detected. And if you don't respond, it will call 911 automatically. It'll allow you to turn on essentially a dead man switch. So if you're in a dangerous situation, if you don't periodically say that you're all right, it will send a message to your loved ones saying that you haven't checked in.
Interesting.
And it will allow you to add things like your blood type, allergies, medication, so on, using an emergency tab that can be accessed from your lock screen if somebody tries to find you. So let's say you slump over unconscious one day and they open up your phone. There's an emergency thing there that says important information about you.
Cool.
So my only question is why, you know, of all the things to be a Pixel exclusive, I can understand many features that should be a Pixel exclusive. One that has to do with personal safety seems like an odd one to be an exclusive.
I expect that this is currently an exclusive because it depends on hardware.
Crash detection. The crash detection, yes. But even just the, you know, put your emergency information as a tab on your lock screen. Mm-hmm. Again, maybe once they've gotten it a little more developed, maybe they will roll it out tomorrow. Moving along, Google has been hit with a lawsuit for tracking Chrome users while in incognito mode, and apparently it is a $5 billion lawsuit.
Wow.
Claiming that their tracking violates the federal wiretap law. I'm not sure I agree with that, but I'm not a lawyer.
Guess it comes down to what they can prove.
Yeah, and they're doing this under not only the wiretap law, but California privacy. So I'll be following that because, as you know, we tend to follow sort of the tangential concept of privacy as it relates to Android and related products. If you are a user of Facebook and you want to leave, their new tool allows you to export your photos to Google Photos. Well, you remember we talked about this a while ago. There was an open source project, the data transfer project or something like that, that a lot of companies were involved in.
Right.
So, was it data transfer project? Yeah, datatransferproject.dev was a collaborate launched in 2018 to create an open source service-to-service data portability platform. So the thing is, they've launched this. I haven't heard of any of the other partners launching things. Apple, Google, Microsoft, and Twitter were all involved. So I'm waiting to hear that somebody else is allowing you to transfer arbitrarily. It's interesting that Facebook is allowing you to transfer just your photos over to Google Photos, because that's just sort of the most minimal thing that they could let you move.
Still, pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, I checked it out. There's only one problem. I do not actually have any photos on Facebook, so I couldn't figure out how to actually do anything with it.
Yep.
Google is now advertising Chrome when you log into Gmail with a Microsoft Edge browser. What happened to Google? I used to have a lot more respect for them, but no, I still have a lot of respect for them. I'm just saying this is the sort of thing Microsoft used to do back in the day. So now Microsoft owns GitHub and is promoting open source, and Google is advertising Chrome when you log into Gmail with a competing browser.
Yeah, I'm sure this would have got Microsoft sued, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah. So you get my point here. It's just, I don't know. Disappointing.
Yeah.
If you use IFTTT, they have added some new services. Nothing that really stood out to me, although I could read them out. Hella Onyx, I don't even know what that is. Filtrite Smart, Citron Smart, Trigger CMD, Save the Proof, Smartness, Pushcut, the City of Beverly Hills. So what integrations can I do with the City of Beverly Hills? The service provides information and links to play the most recent videos when published by the City of Beverly Hills for public dissemination. So you can essentially, I don't quite get this. Who exactly is going to connect to the City of Beverly Hills information source so they can get real-time notifications and emails through other partners of when the City of Beverly Hills posts videos? Don't these integrations now pay to be on IFTTT?
I hope not, but I guess it makes sense.
No, I'm saying I think that was some sort of thing with them where they started charging the providers. That's why the people at MyQ, the garage door opener people, they started charging that $1 that they just gave people 2 years of first to integrate with Google Assistant and other services, because they were getting charged for the integration. But I could see BART. So one of the other ones on here is BART, which is the Bay Area Rapid Transit System. I could see why you would want to integrate that into a IFTTT. So you can connect BART to Google Sheets. You can notify when BART is delayed. You could blink your lights when BART is delayed. So you could do a bunch of interesting things with that. But what interesting things can I do with knowing that the City of Beverly Hills has posted a new video? Anyway, Wink is no longer connected to IFTTT.
Of course not.
These are the people who last month said, in order to survive, we need $4.99 a month. And then they said, never mind. So they hit everybody up for money. And gave them a very short window in which to actually make a decision. And then they said, never mind. And then they start deplatforming, and they think people will trust them.
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, well, maybe they don't care anymore. It's a shame. It was a good platform. I wish somebody who actually cared about them would have bought them instead of Will.i.am. Anyway, finally, if you are a Google Fi user, you can now access the Google Voice web portal to get your messages.
Yay!
So Google is continuing to recognize that Google Voice is a platform that they need to give some love to. And two, that they need to fix the fact that Google Fi has some limitation in terms of integration with other services. So that's all. I did do one home automation project, but not by choice.
What'd you do?
Well, this goes back many years. It was 2013. So in 2013, one day I was driving and I went to my family's home and their garage door opener was not working. So, you know, I pressed the little remote button and the garage door would not go up. I'm sure that I've told this story before, but I will tell it again. So I got annoyed with this. So I decided that I would replace not the garage door opener, but the actual transmitter. So I looked around and I found out that what you could do is you could replace the button at the wall that where you inside where you pressed to open up the garage, which is essentially just two wires, with a new controller that would also be able to receive the remote signal on a different frequency. So you could essentially upgrade your entire system to a new transmitter and receiver for the remotes by just replacing the door button. And at the time, this sounded like a great idea because for only a few dollars more, that door button was, you could get an internet gateway and that door button was compatible and you could know if you had left your garage door open. So I said, okay, I'll fix everything up and I'll spend the extra $30 and now it will be internet connected so that my relatives will not worry about whether or not they left the garage door open. Sound good?
Yep.
Okay. So the story sort of fast forwards. I installed this and then I hooked it up in this case to my mother's phone because family's garage. And my parents, who I mentioned many times in this program, they go to Florida for the winter. So one day I was outside of their home shoveling their snow. Again, good son. Not happy about shoveling snow, but we all do what we have to do. So I got a phone call. I know you must be there because the garage door opened. I said, no, I'm actually outside freezing, shoveling snow. You'd know that if you had a security camera. So my mother agreed, yes, I would know that if I had a security camera, but I don't. So I went out and got her and installed a security camera. This is how I got into home automation. I'd done various things with home automation before this, but this is what started the current generation. Before that, I'd done some stuff with X10 back in the day, but that stuff was awkward. So fast forward a little while longer, and I said, well, how are you enjoying that camera that I put up for you? Oh, well, I use it to see how much snow there is outside. I said, well, you know, if you had a thermometer out there, you would know what the temperature is and what the details were of it. She said, yeah. So I went out and bought a weather station. So essentially, my entire current round of home automation that I've been talking about on this all dates back to me being unable to open my family's garage door when I went over to shovel snow.
I'm sorry you got dragged into that.
No, it's been an interesting ride. But what I was over there recently before I brought my parents up here, is why I'm up here. They wanted to get out, so I gave them company. And I like getting out as well. I need air because I could have stayed behind. But either way, the garage door, about three nights before I was about to come up here, this whole assembly shorted out. And I found out that the device that I had connected up to the garage door opener back in 2013 apparently was faulty, and the manufacturer was offering a free warranty replacement, even this many years after it, because apparently there was a problem with the capacitors bursting. At least that's what I think the problem was. So I replaced the entire system. And now I'm worried because I don't want to have to do that again because the reviews suggested that even the warranty replacement device might not work reliably. So what I'm going to do is wire in a Wi-Fi connected momentary contact switch into the two wires. So in the event that this replacement item fails, I can still trigger the wires by connecting them using the Wi-Fi connected momentary contact switch, which coincidentally runs an ESP8266, which could be reflashed with the Tasmota firmware that I use on smart outlets.
Sounds comp, but if you have fun, I'm happy.
I do a lot of crazy things sometimes because it's fun. When I say crazy, not the things themselves are crazy. It's sometimes the craziness of it is I recognize that I may take things to an extreme that I didn't need to just because I enjoy doing that sometimes. Like the thing with the inventory, I sure probably could have done the same with the spreadsheet, but seemed like a lot more fun. Spreadsheets aren't exciting. Installing a new self-hosted app and playing with it and using a barcode scanner, now that's fun. Don't you see how much fun the people at the supermarket have every time they scan your items?
Very much fun.
So until next time, and when you get to discover, where will your co-host be? Will he be in the bunker or will he be at home? Not even I know for sure. No, seriously, my parents have issues. They aren't going to go out during the quarantine. So I've been spending a lot more time with them. So that's what I've been up to. So anyway, until next time, shall we adjourn the podcast until the 17th?
Yes.
Okay, motion to adjourn is passed. Meeting dismissed.